This past week, I was in Wichita, Kansas. As many of you know, I was there for the now biennial, every other year, Church of God Convention. This is our convention. It's not just for pastors to go to. It's not just for whatever. It's something for all of us to participate in and to be aware of what's going on there and perhaps even to attend. So this is the thing that used to be in Anderson every year, Anderson, Indiana. How many of you have gone to the convention in Anderson in years gone past? Yeah, so you know something about what that might be like. My parents live in Anderson, so of course you've gone to it. But you weren't in Wichita, I noticed. Okay, that's all right. So this is for you too. What I'd like to do this morning is to give you a recap of some of the major highlights, some of the big takeaways that I had from this convention so that you can be a part of it too. The theme for our service today has to do with unity in Christ. You might have noticed that as being a common theme in the songs and the scripture readings that we've had. And we'll unite around the Lord's table here in a little bit as well. The Church of God is not a united body. We have many different sorts of, I don't want to use the word factions, but I just did, so there it is. We have lots of different groups that are moving in different directions, and we're not always moving in the same direction, at the same speed, at the same time. But we're all united under this umbrella of considering ourselves to be part of the Church of God. One of the major issues we are going to face in the next couple of years as a broad movement, as a broad denomination, is dealing with the question of our structure. Physically, how we are structured, well, that's not physically, metaphorically, is how we are structured as a group. We are, at our core, a grassroots group, meaning we structure from the ground level up. Local congregations band together to form state organizations, which sort of coalesce into this national organization. And that's just in the U.S. and Canada. There are other organizations around the world of other Church of God groups. It's that Church of God in the United States and Canada, that group that is really going to be working on its structure in the next 2 years. There's been a select committee apparently appointed to work on this restructuring business, and we'll figure out what that means in terms of our connectivity with other churches, the Church of God in Michigan, Church of God organizations in other states, as plans get proposed and as we debate those going ahead. All that to say, at this stage in the game already, there's a difference in opinion about how that conversation should go. We are not united around that particular idea. So be in prayer about that. I don't really know where that's going to go, but we'll see. We'll be all right in the long run. Through the week in Wichita, there were a number of worship services. And I'd like to give you a little bit of a taste for what those worship services were like. I'm a terrible estimator, probably around 2,000 or 3,000 people who were in attendance at this, at the Central Community Church. It's a Church of God congregation in Wichita with a really fabulous facility, large space, and lots of lights and things that were going on, spotlights and fog machines and the whole nine yards. It was very theatrical in some senses. But we gathered for worship on multiple occasions, heard many different speakers, really excellent, really fine speakers, preachers, I should say, not just speakers, because I had those too. But the actual preaching was very good as well. I took a short video of one of the worship services to get a feel for how, so you could get a feel for what the space looked like. I apologize in advance because A, it's kind of dark, and B, I was holding my phone this way, not realizing that when it displays, it's going to show up this way. So you're going to have to turn your head to the left to see this straight up and down. But JR, if you'd show us this video, it's just a little clip of a song that you might know. that the instrumentation was down and low. It was not overwhelming. So we could hear all of the voices singing. And there were a lot of people singing there. If you kind of filtered out the microphone voices, you could hear the others there too. It was a really good time of worship and connecting with other people. I saw missionaries from other parts of the world that I know from different places, and they were there to reconnect with folks. The convention is always an important time for us to gather together as one body. And part of what we experienced as one body were the messages that were presented, the sermons that were preached by the various preachers. I'd like to give you a short summary of three ideas, three different components from those various messages, about six or seven of them really, that stood out to me as being very meaningful and useful for our purposes here. All three of these ideas fall under the category, what I would title, the action of God. If I were to give this a title, I would call it the action of God, what God is doing. First, the first preacher I'd like to mention is a gentleman named Jeremy Dixon. It's Jeremy with a G, which is a little unusual for me. He's my age. He's an African-American preacher from Los Angeles, California. He's a pastor of a church there in Los Angeles. And he remarked on how the challenge for our churches today is to reach out to people that are younger than me. If you look around this room, you'll notice that most people in this room are either older than me or are parented by someone who's older than me, or my age, sorry. And that's the connection that we have to people in their teens and 20s. And Jeremy said, one of the main things that young people want today is to know that church people want them. They want to know that they are desired, that they are valued, that they are important in the eyes of adults, if not just church adults, of adults. They want to know that they have something to contribute. They want to know that they have a place in society. And he remarked on a verse, just one verse, Mark 3:13, where it says that Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted. And they came to him. And he spent some time just on that phrase, those he wanted. To say that Jesus wanted people to be with him. And the people that he wanted to be with him were not always people who looked like him or acted like him or were his age or were in his demographic. But he hung out with people that were not real pleasant to hang out with all the time, right? He wanted people to be with him that were not always with him. So the big question is, who do you want to be with you? Are there people in your circle, your sphere of influence, that you could show that you have a desire to be with, whether it's to share a meal with, or to invite to your home, or to go to a baseball game together, or something, just to spend time with them? Are there people in your world that you could be with and show that they are valuable, just as people? In one sense, we call that discipleship. That's where the beginning of discipleship can take place, in these one-on-one interactions. And that leads me to the second preacher that I'd like to mention. His name is Samuel George. Not a preacher so much as a church leader from Pakistan. This is something that's really remarkable. He was not one of the headlined speakers, but he was a guest that was visiting from Pakistan in the context of one of these gatherings. Our general director, Jim Lyon, brought... my phone times out a lot. Samuel George, I keep forgetting names. He brought Samuel George up onto the platform and introduced him. Samuel George represents 75,000 Christians from Pakistan that have just recently joined the Church of God movement. In Pakistan, you might know, this is a difficult place to be a Christian. It's a Muslim nation and is not a very peaceful place to be. And for Christians especially, it's not a very peaceful place to be. It makes the news every so often. We hear about acts of violence and other kinds of oppression that are taking place there. this network of 75,000 Christians representing about 250 different congregations ranging from north to south through the country of Pakistan. They are already networked together, and they were looking for a church group that they could become a part of that would provide community and connection and perhaps resources and certainly prayer and other kinds of resources for them, spiritual and material, that would fit with their ethos, their theology, their background. And they looked around at a few different organizations and did not find a home until they found us. And so they reached out to the Church of God and said, could we join with you? We love Jesus. We live in Pakistan. We need brothers and sisters in the faith to become part of our movement with us. And we said, well, sure. It was a longer conversation than that. I don't know what that conversation was. But the end result was, we now have 250 congregations that are part of the Church of God in Pakistan. 75,000 people just like that, that now we are connected to under the umbrella of being part of the Church of God. They are growing quickly, but slowly. They're growing in the sense that their desire is to have even 300 congregations in Pakistan in the next 2 or 3 years. They're planting churches, and they're growing. But he said this, Samuel George, the church leader from Pakistan, he said, we're growing, but we're growing slowly. We're growing in one-on-one conversations with people. We're not doing it with these big, huge meetings that attract thousands and suddenly people are transformed Billy Graham style. No, we're meeting just with individuals. One-on-one conversations that lead to something much larger through personal discipleship. So who is on your radar? Who do you want to be connected to? It's a challenge for us. It's something to celebrate, but it's a challenge for us as well. To think about what our role is and how we can connect with people in this community where we live. The third individual that I'll mention today is a lady named Danielle Strickland. She is a major in the Salvation Army, and she was the main speaker at the Thursday evening service, if I got my dates right. She preached on the story of Jesus and Nicodemus from John 3, the story of Peter and Cornelius in Acts 10. In John 3, Jesus tells Nicodemus that you must be born again, and Danielle told us in the Church of God that we must be born again and again and again. And the one thing that she said that stood out to me is that you know how I love Greek. The verb there that Jesus says, you must be born again, it's in the present continuing, it's a present participle, which means it has continuing action. It doesn't mean that you have to be physically born a second time and then you're done. It means you must be born again and again and again. And she said to us in the Church of God, perhaps this is a time when we as a movement need to be born again into a new understanding of who we are and what our motivation is to exist and why we connect together. Our general director has proposed a theme for us. Jesus is the subject. It's become even our website, jesusisthesubject.org. And I think, on the one hand, it's a little reductionistic, it's a little trite. On the other hand, it can really be a rallying point for us. If we honestly make Jesus the emphasis of everything that we do, then perhaps we can connect with people in our community in an authentic way, in a real way, in an intentional way, to show, to demonstrate the love of Jesus to our neighbors. Even as Sean Hale, the superintendent of Bullet Creek School System, who is a Christian himself, is embodying Jesus by saying to people in our community who need somewhere to eat, come and eat. We're going to serve you this week. It's something very simple. It takes some coordination and some resources, but it happens. We are to be the hands and feet of Christ to people in our community who need to know his love. And so Danielle Strickland, the major in the Salvation Army, says that we must be born again into a kingdom that is larger than what we have made it. A kingdom that is larger than these four walls, a kingdom that is larger than the umbrella of the Church of God of Anderson, Indiana. We must be born again, sometimes shedding the skin of what has been to enter into a new skin. She said that faith only makes sense in reverse. That was one of the... She spoke very quickly, and there were lots of little tidbits that she said, but that was one of her kind of side points, and I thought, there's something really important there, that faith only makes sense in reverse. Meaning, we believe because we have seen God at work in the past. It's much more challenging for us to have faith for something that is yet to come. It'll make sense when it's in the rearview mirror. But what is to come? What is the future? And so I wonder about that as a denomination. What is our future as the Church of God with all of this restructuring business that takes place? And that doesn't keep me up at night, but it could. But things don't really keep me up at night. I sleep just fine. But if I were to think about something that could keep me up about this congregation, it's the question of what is our future? What is our future as the Mount Haley Church of God? What will we look like in 10 or 15 years? Do you think about that? Do you wonder about that? Just to be very frank and honest about it, in 10 or 15 years, let's say 20 or 25 years, just so we don't feel too badly about it, most of the people who I see in this room will be with the Lord. Can we be blunt about that? Let's say 25 years. Think of your age and add 25 to it. I will be 62 in 25 years. That's not bad. Thank you. How old will you be in 25 years? Can I ask that? You're 62 now. You'll be 87. Wow. Dad, how old are you? I'll pick on you because you're here. You're 67. 25 years, you'll be 92. Olive, if Olive were here today, she's already 102. In 25 years, she'll be 127. Do you get my point here? Things are going to change. And they need to change, and it's necessary. It's part of being a community. It's part of living life. It's part of being alive. It's part of being a family. Families change over time. Yours has. This one has over time. It takes real courage to see what the future will be and have faith that God will make it something great, even when we don't know what that future will be. The faith makes a lot more sense in hindsight than it does presently. There were lots of things that I could share with you from this convention. But those, I think, are pertinent to our purposes today, worshiping the Lord here in this space, in this time, with this group of people that have chosen to belong to each other. With our long history, we're coming up on 75 years as a congregation together. Remember, if you want to help plan our 75th anniversary celebrations, let me know. We're going to get on that here real soon in July. Because 2018 is coming up before you know it. We have a long history and we will celebrate that. What will our future look like? We need to be thinking about that as well. We need to be connecting with individuals who are younger than we are. Not for the sake of this congregation. Because God has churches all over the place, even in Pakistan, and He's going to do what He wants to do with all of us. But for the sake of those people, for the sake of those who need to know that they are valued by us and by God, who created them for relationship with Him. How are we going to connect? How are we going to do one-on-one relationships? How are we going to reach out as the hands and feet of Christ in our community? Those are ongoing questions for us. They are not questions that can be answered once for all, as if we could be born again and call that good. We need to answer that question continually. And I look forward to exploring those questions with you in the months and years that follow, so that we can figure out how better to reach out to our community and to share God's love with those around us. We have something that is valuable. to share. I heard that message over and over again, and one of the questions that runs in my mind, theologically speaking, is, what is that? What do we have as the Church of God that is unique? Everyone's saying that we have something, and I don't know that we have really pinned down exactly what that is. We don't have language for it at this point in time. That's beside the point. One thing that we do have, which is not unique to us as Church of God people, is Jesus himself. We share Jesus with many other Christian groups. And it's demonstrated by how we gather around the Lord's table. In a moment, we're going to do that ourselves. But it's important for us to remember that this is not our table. This is not a Church of God table. This is the Lord's table. And it belongs to Christ. And so when we share around it, we are partnering with all sorts of other Christians and all sorts of other faith traditions around the world who are doing this very same act, even today, of taking a little piece of bread and a little bit of juice or wine in some traditions to represent the body and blood of Christ and to demonstrate our unity. The answer to the question of the Church of God's structure from the top down or from the bottom up will get answered in a couple of years, hopefully, or maybe longer than that. But the real answer to our unity is found here. The real answer to our unity is found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's, I think, what Jim Lyon means when he says that Jesus is the subject. If we're going to be a united people, even as a congregation, because big church groups are just like local churches, we have divisions in our group too. There are people in this room that you like more than others. I know that. I'm not foolish about that. We have issues. That's okay. We are normal people. But we are one in Christ. And that's why this is important. Our unity is found not in us saying, oh, I'm going to love you. It's Jesus has loved us, has loved you and has loved me, and so I get to love you. I feel like I'm preaching a sermon on unity, but maybe that's okay. As this comes to a close here, this moment, and as we prepare to worship the Lord through the celebration of the Lord's table, I invite you to continue to think and pray about who could be added to this circle. Who could be added to this family? Who needs to know Christ in a real and vibrant and living way? And what can we do to extend our hands to those around us who need to know the Lord? Let's pray together. Lord, we give you thanks for this convention of your people who call themselves the Church of God. We give you thanks for those many voices who spoke into my life and I hope into all of our lives through these words here. Lord, we pray that you would continue to draw us together as one people, as one body. Help us to demonstrate that in these moments now, and to demonstrate that in our lives as we go from this place. Help us, Lord, to honor you in all that we say and do, so that the world might know that you alone are God, and that there is hope for the growth of your kingdom, even in this world, in this time. Give us grace, we pray, in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.